Hi, I'm John Nerrell, and welcome to the Mid-Career GPS Podcast. If you're feeling stuck in your career and overwhelmed by what steps to take, I can help you. As an executive and career transition coach, I help my clients prepare, position, and promote who they are and what they do to show up and find a job they love or love the job they have. It's time to start building your mid-career GPS. So let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. So if you're thinking about shaking things up in your career, making a bold move, or simply considering getting out of your comfort zone for a bit and not looking back years later, wondering if you've missed an opportunity, this episode is for you, and I'm glad you're here. My guest today is Felicia Shankin, the CEO and founder of the Philadelphia Women's Network Connection LLC and the PWNC Foundation Incorporated. In addition, she's a business owner and an entrepreneur who specializes in all forms of travel. Before embarking on her solo entrepreneurial journey 3 years ago, Felicia had a 25-year career in the medical field working in radiology. She earned her nursing degree and worked for the Department of Veterans Affairs in Philadelphia for 9.5 years. She's the host of her own show on RVN TV called Power Up Your Passion in 2020, where she talked to guests about their passion in life and how it has led to where they are now. And currently, she is the host of Unapologetically Me that streams live on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn every Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. And in 2020, with all of the things that were going on, Felicia was recognized and honored by Fun Times Magazine in their March-April 2020 magazine edition for being a 2020 Philadelphia Who's Who Black Women of Influence. And in December of 2020, Felicia was recognized by International Brains Magazine as an influential leader and business owner, recognized for her entrepreneurial success, achievements, and willingness to help others. I'm excited and honored to welcome Felicia to the podcast. Hi, Felicia.
Hey, John. I'm listening to you and I'm like, who is he talking about?
Isn't it strange how, it's one of the things I like about my guests get to hear the intro as we do it, but isn't it strange when you get to hear your life come back to you like that?
Yes, because you don't take the time to look at your accomplishments as you're going along. So when someone talks about them, you're like, who is that person?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm so glad that we get to spend some time together today and really dig in a little bit around what your professional walk and your journey has been. One of the things that I want to start out with today is, what made you decide to get into the medical field and do the work that you wanted to do those years ago?
Wow. Great question, John. Great question. Well, I grew up originally in New York. I grew up in Queens, New York. And I was, I guess you were saying, trying to find myself. I went through fashion. I attended Fashion Institute of Technology. I was in the fashion world for a while. And I loved it, but the pay wasn't good. So I had a girlfriend and she told me about getting into the medical field, you know, seeing what's out there. So I went in, I researched, I worked for Mount Sinai Hospital at the time. I was working in the nursing department. And I was like, there's more to life than sitting at a computer 8 hours a day. So I ended up in radiology, make a long story short. Mm-hmm. I got accepted into Bellevue Hospital program. So that's where I did my program. I graduated there with a degree in radiology. So from there, radiology was very good to me. I ended up in New Jersey and I ended up in Philadelphia eventually over 20 something years ago. So I love what I do. I love being in the medical field. When I was working with the vets, I love working with them. I always say compassion is something that you have to have. It's not something that you learned. And I just felt that my calling here on earth was always to serve. And that's how I ended up in the medical field. And, you know, I love what I do. I love what I do.
It's one of those interesting things where we start our professional walk in a particular field. For you, it was nursing and medicine. For me, it was teaching. Mm-hmm. And then we find out that something pulls us and we end up in a different path. And so talk to us a little bit about what was that point for you, almost like that mid-career moment when you were like, I need to go do something different, or I want to do something different.
Well, it's funny you say that, because my grandmother was my inspiration. I would watch her go to work every day, whether she wanted to or not, to take care of her family. I was raised by her, and I knew at a young age that that's not what I wanted my life to be. I've always had a side gig, some type of side business. I've been in multiple multi-level marketing companies. Some were successful, some weren't. But it taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about patience. It taught me a lot about being focused and dedicated. And it was, I don't know, I just knew, I felt in my spirit, in my heart, that God wanted more for me than just to be at working for someone else. You know, I look at people that work 30 and 40 and 50 years, and, you know, the job comes and says to them, okay, we no longer need you. What are you going to do at 50 and 60 years old? After you've been given your life to a job, and they give you what, a gold watch? I can buy my own gold watch, you know? So I did not want that for me. It was not for me. And I always felt unfulfilled. So, you know, I knew there had to be more. So I was always on the entrepreneurial journey, but I decided a little over 3 years ago that I was going to make it full time. And it was the best decision I ever made.
When you think about making that switch, and I know for a lot of my clients and the people who listen, they question as to what skills they have in their job are going to transfer over. What were the skills that you had that you knew were easily transferable into your entrepreneurial journey?
Well, that was easy. Transitioning from the medical into the entrepreneurial, that was so easy. Why? Because in the medical field, again, you have to have compassion. That's not something that you can learn. You have to have that. You have to be in a space where you're willing to serve others, where you're willing to be there for others, where you're willing to listen. I mean, generally listen. I tell people all the time, if you're listening, I have your 100% attention. You can't be thinking about what you're going to say next while I'm talking to you, because you're not listening. So entrepreneurship is the same thing. I run a women's group, and you know, you have to listen to what it is that your audience want, what it is that they want. You know, I meet them where they are. We have some women that are not entrepreneurs yet. We have some that are still working a part-time or a full-time job. So I try to find out what their needs are so I can meet them where they are, and to let them know that when they do have me, they have my 100% dedication.
It's such a great example, Felicia, of how those skills that we don't take for granted, that are so needed in a variety of different professions, especially when you are building a group and building a community that really is designed around those kinds of things. Those skills, like you said, I loved how you said it was just easy, right?
It was.
Absolutely. So for you as an entrepreneur, where would you say you add your greatest value?
Wow. Where would I add my greatest value? I would say my authenticity, showing up. I am who I am. I can't change that. But I believe that people know when you are your authentic self. They can feel that. You know, I always say to my ladies, I laugh. I'm like, listen, when you come to me, 80% is your job. 20% is my job. You have to be committed. You have to be willing to show up. I can give you the plate of food, but it's up to you to eat it. So I would say my authenticity.
Right. So what made you decide to create this Philadelphia Women's Network connection, and what was the need around for you to go ahead and fill that?
Oh, you know what? This is my first women's group. Okay. And I had no idea that it was going to get to where it is now. Living in Philadelphia, I was going to a lot of different networking events, and I would tend to find when I would leave, I would feel unfulfilled. I felt like I wasted my time, or the music was too loud, or I got a bunch of business cards. They may have been follow-up, they may not have been, but I just felt like I wanted something more. So in a Panera Bread in 2018, I'm sitting there drinking my tea, and I get this aha vision moment. Mm-hmm. And the vision was, why don't you start a women's group in Philadelphia? And I'm sitting there, I'm like, now this is interesting. I know nothing about starting a women's group. Mm-hmm. I know nothing, you know. So the vision was there. So what I wanted to do, I wanted to do something different. I wanted something whereas people could come to, men and women, even though it was a women's group, and they would have not only great networking experience, but content. Great content that they were going to leave with. So at all my events, I always have a speaker that brings content that you can implement in your business right away. So I wanted to do fashion shows. I wanted to do hair and healthcare. I wanted to do different things. So when you came, you could wear a $2,000 outfit, or you can wear a $15 pair of jeans, but you would still fit in because you found your tribe, kind of. Mm. And the women in my group, they love each other. They love getting together. They like having that camaraderie, as you want to say, and just being around each other. So I just felt the need of bringing more to the table. And I'm glad that I did. And it's been exciting. And I've been meeting some wonderful people along my journey. You know, there's some phenomenal women out there in the world that are just killing it. And I'm very blessed and fortunate to be a part of their journey. So that's why I decided to start PWNC.
Nice. So I want to spend a little bit of time with you talking about networking, because not only is somebody who has created this group, but also someone who values the power in creating a network, it is without question that over the last year, we have seen how we have networked change. In light of the pandemic. And so the 20 person meeting at the Panera Bread with the business cards and stuff doesn't, or really hasn't been happening at all, or even if as much, because of what we have seen in the pandemic. What are some of your guidance or rules to really help someone be a good networking connection for somebody else?
Wow, you got some good questions here.
I've learned from you, so this is good.
Thank you. Well, you know what? First of all, show up as yourself.
Okay.
Show up as yourself. When you come to a network event or you're amongst that type of atmosphere, the first thing you want to do, I always do, is survey the room. Okay. Because you only have a certain amount of time. You're not going to get the opportunity to speak to everyone, but survey the room, get a sense of who's in the room. And then once you get a sense of who's in the room, now you can branch out and start making your introductions. I usually do not, when I meet someone, I usually don't tell them my name. I usually don't tell them what I do. I break the ice. How did you get here? Do you know the host? You know, so it's a conversation to make them feel comfortable. Eventually, we're going to get around to what it is that we do. So what I try to do is I try to keep the conversation short. I try to leave at least with 10 connections, 10 good connections. So I try to leave the conversation short. And I always tell people, do not sound salesy. No one wants to be sold to, especially if I don't know you. Don't come to me and automatically you start talking about your brand, about your product. Give me the opportunity to know you, form a relationship with you, because eventually we are going to end up doing business of some sort. So, you know, that is huge. And then I always say, you know, when you're talking to someone, give them your 100%. Look at them. Look in their eyes so they can see you. You can see them. Let them know that you're there. They have your attention. Do not be on your phone. Put your phone on silent. Don't be looking at your phone while you're talking to people, because that's rude. Because then I feel like you're not giving me your attention. And that's why we're here. I always say one tip, which is good. Someone told me, wear your name tag on your right hand side. And the reason for that is the majority of people are right handed. So when you go to shake someone's hand, if you offer the right hand and they're right handed, they're looking directly at your name tag. So this way that's visible. But I would say, you know, John, it goes back to authenticity. You have to be your authentic self. And people respect that. They love that. You know, a lot of times when I'm doing Facebook Lives in my group or just in general or doing podcasts, so you mess up. And I'm like, well, this is real life, people. Yep. You know, this is real life. This is what it is. So I try to let people see the quirky side of me, the fun side of me, the family side of me. I'm not always about business, business, business. You can't be. So that's what I would say. Show up. Be your authentic self. Don't be so quick to sell your product. You know, break the ice with a question and go from there. And I guarantee you, you'll in the long run, you'll be glad that you did.
Those are such great tips, Felicia. And the thing that I want to come back to is that whole idea about not being salesy. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that I've seen and in the work that I do with my clients and in my group and everything is that it's so easy to get focused on the outcome.
Right.
Right. So if you're in a state of career transition and you're looking for employment, it can be so easy to lead with, are you hiring? Can you offer me a job? Can you get me an interview? And it does come across as this kind of needy or graspy energy where can really be a turnoff, right? If we think about dating, you wouldn't walk up to someone and be like, will you marry me? Right? How quickly can I run from you, right? I mean, those kind of things, it's one of the lessons we see from social media, even in terms of building that know, like, and trust factor. Mm-hmm. and bringing that into a networking relationship. And what are some other tips that you would have for people, especially who are networking virtually or even connecting with people individually, mm-hmm. to just build that relationship over time as their authentic selves?
Now, that's a great one. First thing, turn your camera on.
Mm.
Let people see you. I had a conversation with a gentleman this week, and we were on for an hour and a half. In the beginning, he did not have his camera on. And I said to him, I need you to put your camera on because I need to see you. You need to see me. I don't want to stare at a picture. So he did put his camera on. He was like, he gave me something. I didn't shave. I said, well, I put lipstick on for you. You can put your camera on for me.
I love it. I love it.
But because we are in such a digital world, you have to be front and present. You have to let people know, one, what you look like, who you are. And, you know, just because you have a beautiful picture doesn't mean that you know how to present yourself. I won't say sell yourself, present yourself, mm-hmm. because you are your brand. You are your company. So when people see you, they can look at you. They can see you being yourself. And I just think it's rude that when you are on a Zoom, if it's one-on-one or even in a community, now granted, sometimes you have to leave your camera off. I mean, I've gotten up and I've had meetings at 8:00 in the morning and the hair was a mess and I didn't feel like putting on lipstick. So, okay, that's understandable. But if I'm talking, I'll say to them, excuse me that my camera is not on. I'm having a hair moment or something's going on. So I'm honest with them and they usually respect that. But, you know, you have to understand everybody is doing the same thing. It's a digital world. Everybody's online. The people that are going to build their business, the ones that are going to be remembered are the ones that stay front and center. You have to stay front and center because if I don't see you, I'll forget you. And if I forget you, guess what? Now you don't have a business. And if you don't have a business, guess what? You're out of business. So I say, be respectful and you know, turn that camera on, bring that smile, let everybody see who you are. You know, everybody is nervous. It's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. We all are here for the same reason.
Absolutely. I could not agree with you more on the whole camera thing. It's definitely a respect thing, right? Mm-hmm. Just being transparent and honest. And we have seen in the news, I always go back to Dr. Fauci as a example of this, right? Where we critique the background and we're like, there's so many books on the floor. Well, he's an academic. He's a scientist. Of course, there's books on the floor, right? It's what we get. And that whole idea about being front and center. So getting back to your networking group, what are some of the things that you talk about in your group specifically related to branding? Because you mentioned that earlier about your professional brand, your business as a brand. What are some tips that you have for people today in terms of helping them represent their professional brand a little bit better?
You have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to. There's no getting around that. I tell my ladies, I was like, listen, if you're afraid to do a Facebook Live, go in the bathroom, get in front of your mirror, record something. This way you can see your facial expression. You can see how you sound. You're going to mess up. You have people that have been doing this for years and years and years and years. They get tongue-tied. They mess up. They say the wrong word, whatever. You have to do it. Everything I have ever done, John, has scared the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. Everything, including this women's group. I have no idea what I'm doing. I still don't, but I'm having a great time.
Right.
You know, I'm having a great time. Everybody's like, oh, you know, with your success. And I'm like, success where? And I'm like, you know, like I told you when you were reading my intro, I'm listening to what you're saying. And I'm like, my God, is this really me? Because you don't sit and think about these things about yourself. You know, you're so busy just building and doing what it is that you're doing. And I tell them, the ladies, you have to be accountable. You have to be accountable. If you're going to do something, do it. Don't say you're going to do something and you're not going to do it. People look at what you do, not what you say. And that's what they go by. And that's how they do business with you. So you want that accountability. Also, again, bringing up that genuineness, the authenticity, bring that. So you might laugh a little crazy, or you might snort when you laugh, or, you know, bring whatever it is that is about you. That's what makes you special. People always say to me, and it was one of the questions that I used to ask, and I even asked you, John, when you were on mm-hmm. my show, what is your superpower? Your superpower is you. No one else is you. So you bring that authentic self, you know, always. And then I always tell my ladies, show up, be present, mm-hmm. be present always, you know, be on time, be there before time. You know, if you got to be there at 11, be there at 10:45, because if you're there at 11, you're late already.
Right.
So, you know, and be respectful. Be respectful. Just because someone may not buy your product or they say no, it doesn't mean that they're saying no to you. They're saying no to the opportunity. So you have to have a thick skin. And definitely being an entrepreneur. I had my premiere of the show this week. And one of the things I said, if you are looking to go into a profession where you want everyone to like you, entrepreneurship is not for you.
Oh, so true. So true.
You know, you're not going to have the support of your friends. You're not going to have the support of your family. You'll have the support after you get successful. But in the beginning, 90%, it is you. It is all you. And you're by yourself. So these are some of the things that I tell the women. And consistency. You have to be consistent. You have to. People look for that. You know, don't post on Monday and then we don't see another post from you until Saturday. You have to be consistent. You have to post every day. I'm sorry. Some of you probably don't want to hear that. But if you are serious about your business, if you're serious about building your future, you have to do whatever it takes to get to where you want to be. And there's going to be sacrifices. I mean, I don't go out and get my hair done as much as I want. Maybe my nails, my toes, maybe those pair of $100 shoes I can't buy right now. But guess what? It's the sacrifice that I decided that I wanted to make. So that's what I did. When I left the VA, we went from 2 salaries down to 1 salary. I had a discussion with my husband and I knew the sacrifices that I would have to make. But is your dream bigger than your fear? That's what you have to ask yourself. Is it bigger? Do you want this more? Do you want to work and build someone else's dream for the rest of your life? Or do you want to work for yourself? And trust me, it's not easy work. It's going to be hard, but there's some days where it's going to be beautiful. So it does balance itself out.
You just brought up so many feels in all of that, right? Because entrepreneur to entrepreneur, and like you, had the conversation with my husband about how we're going to go ahead and do this and all of these kind of things. Mm-hmm. But it is so much about stepping out of your comfort zone without question.
Yes.
I keep a file. I've done this for years. I call it keepers and kudos. It's those little emails or things that come up where you just want to save and kind of look and go back to, right? And so I had someone unsubscribe from my weekly email list. Mm-hmm. And in the box where it was any comments kind of thing, the person wrote, I don't subscribe to so-called quote-unquote thought leaders who dish out crap like you do. Take me off of your list. And I went, oh, he called me a thought leader.
I love it.
Right. And I had to look at it that way because I thought, gosh, if I embrace all of that negativity. Now, I went back and I found the connection and I knew where we had gotten connected and everything. And he apparently forgot or whatever. But I just thought that one goes in that keepers and kudos file because we can't let those things rattle us for too long.
No.
Because it really gets us away from the whole point that brought us here in this mid-career journey, which is how do I get to serve differently, more impactfully, more significantly, and contribute in a way that I really know is going to end up being the legacy that I want to leave.
Right. And I always tell people, I say, you know, I call those people sideliners. You have to have the sideliners looking on, you know, cheering you silently. But also I tell people, I always shout out my haters. I love my haters. Mm-hmm. I do. And the reason why I love my haters is because they hold you accountable. They hold you accountable. They're looking every day to make sure you're posting, make sure you're growing, make sure you're doing the things that they don't want to see you do. So they, you know, your friends, they'll be like, you know what? You don't want to do it today, John. Okay, you can do it tomorrow. Tomorrow comes into next week. Next week comes into next month. Your haters are sitting there like, okay, what's she going to do today? What's she going to do today? And that gives me motivation. And I always say to them, I said, you know, I laugh. I said, I'm going to have to get new haters because my old haters are starting to like me.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. But your point about being consistent and being front and center and showing up in those kind of ways is, I mean, whether you are an entrepreneur, you're leading a company, you are that dedicated worker in that company that is doing the grunt work day in and day out, whatever that is, there is so much to be said for being consistent and doing that kind of quality work.
Absolutely. Because, you know, my organization will be 3 years old this month. Mm-hmm. So we haven't been around long.
Yeah.
So by me being consistent, I was able to be seen by International Magazine Brains, where, you know, we were honored for being one of the 500 globals. You know, I was able to be seen by Fun Times Magazine as an influencer. So people are watching you. Even though, you know, you might put a post up and you'd be like, nobody liked my post. Nobody made comments. But guess what? People are watching what you are doing. They are watching. So, you know, I say to those entrepreneurs who may be starting or the ones that, you know, are posting, you're like, well, I'm not getting engagement or whatever. Don't stop. Don't quit. You know, it keep doing what you're doing. People are noticing, people are watching, and one day you will come into your season where all of that will pay off. And then it'll be like a floodgate. All of a sudden, everything just starts coming through and you're like, wow, how did I get here?
Yeah, absolutely. So Felicia, as we start wrapping up here, one of the questions I typically like to ask all of my guests at the end is, what kind of advice would you give to someone who is trying to build their mid-career GPS to help them get where they want to be?
Oh, this is a good one. I love it. One, do not let anyone know what you're doing. Do not tell anyone what you're doing. And the reason why is you don't want to give anybody the opportunity to get into your head and give you their fears. Listen to what I said. You do not want the opportunity to let anyone get into your head and portray their fears on you. Okay? So that's one thing. The second thing is never, ever, 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 I'm going to say it again, never, ever, ever, ever quit. Never. Take a break if you have to, slow down if you have to, but never quit. Because eventually, think of it, your business like a muscle. You go to the gym, you work out, and eventually those muscles get bigger and they get stronger. But it takes a while to get there. It might take 60 days, 90 days, 120 days. Think of that as your business, but instead of days and months, it might take years. And the rule of thumb is the first to 5 years in business, that is your make or break. Right there. So, you know, as far as, you know, that stay consistent. Consistency, I cannot tell you, is key. Show up, be present, and just continue to fight for your dream. And if you lose sight of your why, of why you're doing this, go back to the initial one, which is your dream. You know, what is it that you want to accomplish? What is it that you want to have? How do you want to live? So that's the best advice that, and like I said, you know, I think the biggest one for me was keeping the noise out, listening to other people. And, you know, if you stay focused, you don't look left, you don't look right, you look forward, you not don't look back because you're not going back that way. Just keep forward and be kind on your journey. Mm-hmm. Be kind because there's people out there going through a lot. You don't want to be online trying to sell a $100 program in a pandemic. You know, what are the chances you might have some people do it? It might, $100 might be nothing for some people, and $100 might be the difference between having food on their table for their children. So be mindful, be in tune with your community. You know, just put yourself in their shoes and say, okay, you know, well, I may not be able to do a $100 event, but maybe I can do a $20 event or a $10 event and sponsor people. And like I said, so that's the best advice and lessons that I have learned on my journey. And they have seemed to be pretty, pretty, they work pretty well for me. And a huge thing that I am spiritually grounded and have a great support system. My husband supports me in everything I do. So you have to have that support system. So that's the best advice I can give you.
That's such a great way for us to wrap up. Thank you so very, very much, my friend. It has been so nice chatting with you and sharing a little bit today. Thank you so much. There's so many great things here. It's one of those episodes I hope people will go back and look at the show notes and listen to again and pull out those things that they want to go back and hear. But before we say goodbye, I'd love for you to tell my listeners a little bit more about PWNC, where they can connect, how they can follow you, and anything else that you have coming up next. So mics are yours.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, PWNC, the Philadelphia Women's Network Connection. You can find us online. And also, you can find me at FeliciaShankin360.com. That's FeliciaShankin360.com. We are a women's group. And what we do is we strategize with women business owners, helping them to build their business, find out what their strengths are, working on that, making vital connections, and providing them the resources that are necessary in order to take them to the next level. John mentioned earlier PWNC Foundation, which is our nonprofit. What we do with our nonprofit is those that women that are looking to transition from full-time and part-time employment into full-time entrepreneurship, we help them financially, educationally, whatever it is that they need to get them up and going. So that's pretty much it as far as my organization. What we're on Facebook. The group is the Philadelphia Women's Network Connection. You can find us on Facebook. Also, Felicia Spivey Shankin. You can find me on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on LinkedIn. I couldn't deal with Twitter, so we're not on Twitter.
You and me both. It just became too much.
Exactly. But if you go to FeliciaShankin360.com, I'll have everything there for you.
Great. And I'll make sure I put all of that in the show notes. So Felicia, thank you again. This has been great. And I just appreciate you so much. Keep up the great work, and certainly looking forward to following you in the upcoming years and stuff.
Oh, thank you. Well, it was such a blessing for me to meet you. I love your energy. I loved your energy from the first time we met. And I'm looking forward to us continuing this relationship. And thank you for having me on. It was an honor.
Great. Same here. Thanks so much, everybody. I wish you a great rest of the day. And I'll see you really soon with another episode and another exciting guest. So until next time, take care, be well, and stay safe. Make it a great rest of the day.
Bye, everyone.
If you enjoyed today's show and don't want to miss an episode, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you usually listen. If you haven't already, I'd appreciate it if you would leave me a rating and review to let me know what you think to help others find this podcast and continue to bring you relevant and useful content to help you navigate what's next for your career. And if you're ready to create your mid-career GPS and get rid of the overwhelm so you can find the job you'll love or love the job you have, visit my website at johnnerrell.com for more information about joining my private Facebook group and scheduling a free consult with me so we can start building your mid-career GPS together. Don't forget to connect with me on LinkedIn and follow me on social at John Nerrell Coaching. I'll see you next time.